Good morning, everyone. I would like to welcome you all to this morning service at Emmanuel Church, which is part of the Swindon Old Town Partnership of Churches. I would also like to welcome any visitors who are amongst us this morning. Please make yourselves known to me or the stewards after the service. And greetings to those listening through recording. I hope you feel part of Emmanuel. Our church minister, Reverend Robert Jordan, will be leading this service this morning. The Bible reader is Janet Leadbeater, and she'll be reading from the New Testament, from the book of Mark. Most of the notices can be found in the weekly news. I'll now light the Christ candle as we remain in silent in preparation for the service.
Good morning and welcome to our service today. We gather for worship to celebrate God's creation and to be reminded that we are part of that creation. The prayers today are all from the suggestions the United Reformed Church put out for this Sunday were in lots of our congregations up and down the country. It is Racial Justice Sunday. God of all, you have named each and every one of us as your child. Remind us that we are God-breathed, beloved, and imbued with beauty and dignity, as we gather in your presence on this Racial Justice Sunday, in different communities around the country, unify us in your love and join our different and distant voices into one song of worship to you. Amen. And Psalm 81, Psalm for today, says, "Hear, O my people, while I admonish you. O Israel, if you would but listen to me, there shall be no strange god among you. You shall not bow down to a foreign god. I am the Lord, your God." So we have the opportunity of joining in song now, and our hymn from Rejoice and Sing, Hymn 391, "Stand up and bless the Lord, you people of his choice." We turn to God at this time of prayer, a prayer of thanksgiving and of confession. Let us pray. We come to you, the living God. We come from different parts. We left home this morning to come here. And on our minds are the things of every day, plus the surprising, sometimes difficult situations, and sometimes loving and caring situations. We are grateful that we can gather here for worship in freedom. And as we are here today, we think of those who haven't been able to make it for one reason or another, that they may know that we remember them and love them. In you, dear God, we find fullness of life, because that's your will for your creation. We ask you to fill us with gratitude for that we are grateful for, without forgetting you in the midst, that your light may shine on us this day, that we may know your presence among us, that we may give ourselves the time now and during the day and during the week to recognize those things that come from you, to look around and recognize the small details that remind us of the changing of the seasons. So many people are commenting on the snowdrops. But again, the hedges are beginning to sprout. The trees look slightly different. The birds fly and even wake us in the morning with their chirping as it's lighter. We give you thanks for this. We give you thanks for all of us being here today. We thank you for those in our communities, for their dedication to their community. We thank you for those who make a difference in our lives, sometimes by simply knowing that they are there. We thank you for that and those close to our hearts that it's only you and us that know. And in this silence, give us the opportunity of extending our gratefulness and our thanks for that is important to us. We want to give you thanks for all those occasions and places and situations where the truth is told, for politicians who serve their people, for carers that make a difference to those who probably see nobody else in a day, for the fire service, the ambulance, the lifeboats, those that we hope not to need, but when needed, are there. Living God, in whom we find fullness of life, receive our thanks and adoration. And we come also to recognize our faults. Hear our prayer, our groans, our cries, sometimes the despair, sometimes the hope. Lord, we set out each day trying to make a difference, but often we falter at the first hurdle. God of compassion, guide our steps. When we seek to challenge practices and systems that oppress others, but sometimes end up wounding ourselves or others, God of compassion, tend our wounds. When we seek to defend the honor and dignity of others, but sometimes end up protecting our privileges, our reputation, God of all compassion, forgive our sins. When we cling to the ideals or the habits or the traditions of the past, often based on the seeds that have been sown of racism, of hatred, when we cling to that which is wrong, based on ignorance or arrogance, God of compassion, deliver us from evil. We turn to you, humbled, seeking to be new, knowing that in your love, you can make us new. Take from us all that should not be, from our country and the world, all that should not be. For all the pain that has been caused and continues to be. And that your people, of which we want to truly be a part of, may be light and warmth and love and kindness. Hear our prayer, O Lord, as we say together the words that make us realize how close we are to one another and to you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We will now, in the service, share the time for the offering, that which we have been able to set apart from what we have received to give, and ask God for his blessing. Yours is everything we have and all that we are. Bless the offering that's in the plate, what we give in different ways, the box that then will go to feed those who are struggling, that they may be signs of light and hope. Bless those who have to administer the offering, that your name and love may guide everything we do and say. To you be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And we share the words of the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Thank you. The choir will now sing the anthem, View Me, Lord, a Work of Thine, words by Thomas Campion and music, Richard Lloyd.
The reading this morning is taken from Mark, chapter 2, verses 23 to 28, then chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. Here Jesus gets challenged by the Pharisees for so-called work on Sunday. One Sabbath, he was going through the cornfields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on a Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and they needed food? He entered the house of God. Then Abiathar was high priest, and he ate of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priests to eat. And he gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, the Sabbath was made for humankind, not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even on the Sabbath." Again, he entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. They watched him to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Come forward." Then he said to them, "Is it lawful to do good or harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill?" But they were silent. He looked around at them with anger. He was grieved at their hardness of heart and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out immediately and conspired with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Janet, for leading us. And before we sing the hymn, I will light the peace candle so that we may have that light reminding us as we continue in the service. Hymn 619, "We meet you, O Christ, in many a guise, your image we see in simple and wise." I just wonder what Fred Kahn, who wrote this hymn quite a time ago, would say today when in verse 3 we sing the words, "For freedom you march, in riots you die," when, when things like marching or protesting aren't now considered the right thing to do. Just a question. It has nothing to do with the sermon. Yes, with the hymn. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts, O Lord, be acceptable to you, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Today is the Sunday just before Lent. Lent begins, and it's going to be a crisis for a number of people, I can assure you, begins on Valentine's Day. So all those chocolates that are given out as token of love and affection have to wait until after Easter, because you don't eat chocolate during Lent. Or do you? Okay. I think that when I get to the end of the sermon, you may wonder, it's okay or not to eat chocolate. It's up to you. But Lent reminds us of Jesus' journey to Jerusalem, a time where so much is going to happen and there are so many lessons to be learned. But before we get to Lent, we have this reading today on our plate. I must admit that the weekly news caused a bit of a crisis because there is no verse 36 in Mark chapter 2, and there wasn't supposed to be. It was the two dots between the 3 and the 6 disappeared, making it chapter 3, verse 6. But these two readings today that are so connected, or two passages of the one reading today are so connected. I was very moved by the way David led intercession prayers last Sunday. The connection all the way through, the staccato through his prayer of the Ten Commandments, bringing them together. And it kept coming back to me during the week. Many a times I found myself wandering to those moments. And then, preparing the service for this Sunday, I found this reading, this Bible reading for this morning, and I felt it was more than a coincidence, rather a lesson to dive into. And with it came things that I had been taught and had forgotten years back. Don't ask me why, because honestly, I had forgotten about this. But in the Hebrew text, they're not called the Ten Commandments. They're called the Ten Words. Yet, in the Hebrew Bible, they refer to the Ten Words or the Ten Sayings of God. But nowhere is it the Ten Commandments. I just wonder if that was a case of translation, as so many of the passages in the Bible that were translated in a particular and historical context, wanting to address the context and not exactly what was being said. The base of the Ten Words is a covenant which God wishes to establish with his people. He presents those tablets with his words, his sayings. Because God says, "I am giving you these for a lifestyle, for a way of living that has to be different from anything you knew before. Live by these words, these sayings, and life will be better for everybody." Soon they discovered, and we know well, that that wasn't always the case. Stop and think for a moment the difference it sounds if you replace the word commandment with the word saying. You think of commandment, it's an obligation with a punishment behind it if it's non-fulfilled. The words, the sayings, have a different approach to it. And I want to go back to that. to the understanding that what God was giving the people was a covenant for a lifestyle, for a better way of living. And the readings today put exactly that into context. God's words were meant to be a liberating experience. They've left slavery. They are entering a new possibility, not based on fear, but on a loving relationship that God has with the people. And what God is saying, it would be so wonderful if that loving relationship I want to establish with you, you are willing to have with each other and as well with God. Very soon, these 10 words were transformed into shackles. So rightly, the question we face today is, what is lawful? Jesus asks that in the reading. Or as I have said this morning as my title, what is allowed? Clearly, it's a matter of not one answer will fit every situation. But rather we must think, discern, try and follow God's love and understanding to reach the better of conclusions for the particular situation. How is God's will proclaimed? But in come the Pharisees. Oh, the dear Pharisees. So difficult to love them sometimes. And I don't know if you picked up towards the end of the reading, the second part of the reading, it says, and Jesus was angry. Jesus was angry with what they were trying to achieve. For the Pharisees, life was yes or no. There was nothing in between. You were either with them or you were against them. And for God, there is always the search of fullness of life. How is fullness of life to emerge from a given situation? Or as Jesus says in this reading, Sabbath is made for humankind and not humankind for the Sabbath. And this is what Jesus keeps on doing, time and time and time again. So much so that the last words of today's reading, the last words of that verse 6 is, they set to destroy him, not to plot against him. The word in the Bible says to destroy him. They're out to destroy him. And this is chapter 2 of the Gospel of Mark. The next 14 chapters are putting into motion that plan to destroy him. The Sabbath is made for humankind. Jesus presents the alternative way of living. Not so much is this permitted, but rather what is the priority? And even more scandalous, the question of the authority, using the concept of the Son of Man, which Mark often uses. This will be seen in the second part of today's reading. The first, working on the Sabbath. The second, the wholeness of life. What good can be done on the Sabbath? Just in brackets, the idea of work on the Sabbath. What was work? What was considered work? So the doctors of the law and the Pharisees had come up with guidelines. You could not walk more than 350 steps outside your property, because that was considered labor, except to go to the temple. So how was this solved? For those of you who think that politics is a game of hypocrisy, sometimes it is, but sometimes so is religion. The Pharisee said, if you had a property within 350 steps of your previous property, that went back to zero. So it wasn't walking far and wide. You could walk from home, 348, to property two. All you had to do in property two was not labor. But if you had a property three, make sure it was 342 steps, and you could walk to that. And those who had power had properties, none of them more than 350 steps, one from another. That was not labor. That was not work. That was honoring the Sabbath. Now, if you couldn't buy properties and you walk 351, may the Pharisees forgive you. That's the sort of reality that was going on at Jesus' time. So here we have it. Taking the ears of wheat and eating them. Is that a harvest? I mean, you all know that my ministry before I came here was in the wheat zone of Argentina, and none of the farmers that I had, members of the congregation or elders, would thought that what one person could grab and peel off the wheat chaff was a harvest. Harvest was when you got the tractors out and you got tons and tons of it. That was a harvest. But a couple of grains, that's what the birds do. Do you see what Jesus is trying to say and what the Pharisees are pointing to? Hunger, can that wait? If you read in yesterday's newspaper, and I think probably in today's headlines as well, the kids in the supposedly safe place of Gaza are eating crushed animal food because there is no food left. That is not a priority, is it? The curing of this chap with the arm that needs attention, come off it. He's been like that for 30 years, 20 years. Does it have to be today, the Sabbath? Can't he wait until tomorrow? What will one more day mean to somebody whose arm has been useless for him for 25 years, for 5 years? There's no rush. You can wait until tomorrow. And that's what they were thinking. Is it a matter of life and death? What would you answer to those questions? Because these aren't invented questions by me trying to provoke you. These are the questions that the Pharisees were judging Jesus by. That's how he was judged. And the problem is that we live in a world where many, many Pharisees still walk the earth. We all know there are people that think like this. I believe that the answer lies in not delaying to do good. Yes, the person could wait until tomorrow for a healed arm, but why should he? Why? Why delay what can be done today to make his life a fulfilling life? Isn't the fullness of life of those disciples walking through the field, learning with Jesus, of this guy being cured, isn't that the fullness of life that God wants through Jesus for us? Failing to do good on a Sabbath would probably defile the Sabbath more than actually doing good on the Sabbath. I remember one of the most fantastic ministers we had in the church where I grew up in, Gervin Mackay. He was fantastic, and Moira, his wife, was equally fantastic. To the fear of all the elders, I don't know if elders here, but no, because we've got the solution in the vestry, top drawer of the desk, there's a solution to this. Gervin was rushed into hospital with appendicitis. And so the elder said, "Crumbs, who's taking tomorrow's service?" Moira got up and led worship as if she'd been the minister. And she was a woman that played the guitar, and she was absolutely fantastic. And from Templey, where I grew up and lived, they went to a certain island in Scotland that has a tune, the Slow Boat Too. And the church clerk was at the quay waiting for them as the ferry came in. And Gervin had his collar on, and as was expected. And Moira came out with the guitar, not the actual guitar, but the case. And the session clerk said to her, this is the way he said, welcome to your new post. You will not be playing that instrument of the devil in this church, will you? And he meant it. It was a guitar. And you know that I'm not inventing this story because it sounds exaggerated. But in certain parts of Scotland, it is exaggerated. Right in front of my bedroom window on the Hall of Residence was a church, a break away from the Presbyterian Church. And I could see the entry hall from my bedroom window. And there was a stand, a tripod, with a lovely big bronze plate. You put your offering in the plate because the money is unholy and cannot enter the temple. But then, of course, the treasurer has to take it in and count it, and it has to go into the accounts. Somewhere in that process, the dirty money becomes holy because it has to get into the bank account. I mean, you tell the minister that stipend is not going to be paid because it's dirty money and his holy calling. And there, yes, I'm forcing it. But can you see the capacity of Pharisaic ways of looking at life? They didn't finish when the Bible was written. Failing to do good on the Sabbath. That is probably the biggest issue. And the Pharisees cannot accept this. And they embark on the conspiracy to destroy Jesus and all he stands for. And this is how we enter Lent. Because that conspiracy against all that Jesus stands for is still alive and kicking in the world. Healing, feeding, caring. Not only for ourselves and those who look like us, but those who need. And we enter Lent to think of Jesus' journey and reflect on what can be better. But let us not wait until Resurrection Sunday to put it into practice. Let us always remember that Jesus' ministry is one that proclaims love, care, justice, rather than legalism. Based on this, we are all invited to take the bread and the cup in a few moments. Not because we have to, but because we are able to. Not because everything on our card has the right tick. You've passed the test, you can come. But because Jesus invited those who felt they needed to be fed, to be able to go out into the world, fed to share the feeding. That is what the passages today are talking about. What is allowed to love with passion, with intention, with intensity, to be kind, to question that which we know is wrong. All this is allowed because it is, I believe, to the glory of God, who wanted fullness of life for all people. And the Pharisees never understood it. And God has a weird sense of humor. And they never understood it. That on the resurrection morning, the tomb was empty. Life had been proclaimed, even beyond the cross. And this is the journey we are on today. And forever. That is allowed. Let's not be afraid about that. Amen. Hymn 653, we'll sing the first two and the last two verses. We cannot measure how you heal or answer every sufferer's prayer, yet we believe your grace responds where faith and doubt unite to care. Prayers of intercession, where we open our hearts and our prayer to those around us. Last week, O Lord, we presented to you through Amnesty International the situation of one particular person. Their case is still there on the lectern where the amnesty candle is lit. The information is in the weekly news. Lord, we put him into your hands, but also ask you to move us, either to write or to press the right keys on our computer to send a message. And through that case, so many people that are suffering. You put into your hands the project the partnership has for street pastors and Swindon Youth for Christ, and for the events that will be taking place over the next months, so that we can, through the partnership churches, fulfill our commitment to help them. We pray for those families where illness has struck and health takes its time. For those who have lost loved ones and are in mourning, for those we know and those we can feel empathy even when we don't know them. We pray for justice and truth in our political systems. We pray, O Lord, for peace. Lord, there are 32 areas of conflict happening in the world now, today. We know of some of them. But peace is not just a word, it's a lifestyle. Because the lack of peace means lack of health, sanitation, food. We pray for the church, our church, for the partnership of churches, and our church in the land, that we may be the light that shines, and through that light question all forms of darkness. We pray for the communion we are about to celebrate, that it may nurture us, and being nurtured, give us the chance to share love in the world. We pray for Highworth URC as it's gathered for worship today, and two of our members are there with them. Lord, in this silence, we bring to you that which is particular to our lives. Hear our prayer. O Lord, the word said, the silence is the passion of our hearts. We put into your hands. May your will be done, that we may be part of that will. Amen. You heard me say words like this a few moments ago. The table is set. We'll soon be sharing. Come to this table not because you must, but because you may. Not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Come, not because of any goodness of your own gives you the right to come, but because we all need mercy and help. Come, because we love the Lord a little and would love to love him more. Come, because the Lord loves us and gives himself for us. Come and meet the risen Christ, for we are his body. In preparation for communion, we sing this wonderful hymn, 453, Let Us Talents and Tongues Employ, the folk song adapted by Doreen Potter. Doreen was an absolutely amazing woman, Jamaican woman, the companion wife of Philip Potter, who for years and years and years was the General Secretary of the World Council of Churches. And she did lots for church music. And between her and Fred Cann, this hymn has reached us. Let us talents and tongues employ. Jesus lives again. Earth can breathe again. Pass the word around. Love abounds. Thank you. it even says Emmanuel in it. So, I mean, I won't say he wrote it for us, but we can appropriate it. The table is set, as I said a few minutes ago. The cup is ready, the bread is ready. Feel invited. You may not feel ready, but God wants us to be present because God loves us. And God will complete what is incomplete in us. So Jesus sat with the disciples and he took the bread and he blessed it. And we bless the bread, O Lord, through you. The seed, it was cast into the ground, it sprouted, the harvest, the true harvest. The seed that became flour, the hands that turned it into bread, the lorries that transported us, and now it's on the table. And we give you thanks because on this table it reminds us of the broken body of Jesus, which he asked us to share. And he broke the bread. And once he'd broken the bread, he said to them, take and eat and do it, remembering me. So let us share. Broken bread, we eat in memory of him. And after they'd eaten the cup, and the words he used are words to remind us of something that happened before. Jesus said, this cup is the new covenant. the way God wants to work with us for fullness of life. The covenant of the rainbow, the covenant of the tablets with the word, God's caring. And it comes from sharing. And we receive the cup to drink and be part of that new covenant. The shared cup, a reminder of God's intense love for all creation. We drink from it in remembrance of Him. That we may live as the new people that you create and recreate through the power of the Spirit working in us and others this day and forevermore. Amen. Our closing hymn is hymn 413, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, All Our Sins and Griefs to Bear.
Thank you.
Journeying God, be with us as we continue to journey through life each day. In each step we take, may we walk even closer with you. In the light of day and the darkness of night, where the ground is sure or uneven, may we walk with faith and hope and love. Let each step today be sure, humble and just. And may the Lord God bless us. May he keep us upright and dignified. May he lead us to walk in the shoes of others. And may the image of God be made whole by our beautiful being living fully into its calling, journeying towards the justice of the kingdom of God made real, now on this earth, for all God's people. God bless us on this journey. Amen.